talking about organics these days, but the man who started it all is right here. Here he is, author, landscape architect, arborist, and your host, the Dirt Doctor, Howard Garrett.
Talking plants and talking animals. Thank you, Logan. One thing I need to clear up a little bit, I'm I don't think about voles that much because we don't have voles, and I kind of misspoke. They don't really do a lot of animal eating like grubs and worms and things like that, like moles do. They're primarily herbivores. And so, yeah, they could be a little damaging to some plants, but like we talked about there, the hot pepper and castor oil products, the commercial product called mole scram, and they may have a vole scram by now, too, would be still what I would recommend there. Real quickly, a couple of things before we go to the phones. The Mother Earth News Fair that's coming up is going to be in Asheville, North Carolina, like I said, and the date is April 28 and 29. If you go to appearances on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com, click on that. It takes you to a page where you can buy the tickets early and save some money and all that. We'd love to see you there. And by the way, if you go to Asheville, something I strongly recommend, their botanical gardens there are fantastic. And so allow some time to go there. They have, I've done a video on, you can see it on YouTube, I believe. I need to probably add to it. I did one on my visit there, specifically the bonsai area that they've got is over the top, beautiful and thorough and really, really good. So it's another thing besides the fair to check on. Got a couple other things to catch up on from the first hour, but let's see what a couple people drop off. I just noticed too. So jump on here at 866-444-DIRT, which is 3478. Chris is in Fort Worth. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how are you doing this morning?
Doing well. What's up?
Thanks for taking my call. I live against the green belt, and I've got rabbits all over the place, and I've got crepe myrtles that are probably about 5 years old. They're probably about an inch in diameter, and I happened to be walking in the yard yesterday, and I noticed they chewed the bottom of the bark, and I was wondering if there's something, if the trees are going to be okay, or I should put some chicken wire around it, or something to kind of deter these rascals.
Are you sure it was the rabbits? It could have been, but
I don't know. It's all chewed up, but something's chewing on it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, a couple of things to do, Chris. When you have animals attacking woody plants like that, whether it's crepe myrtles, Japanese maples, bald cypress, I've seen it happen on various kinds of plants, redbud sometimes. Generally, it's the thinner barked trees, but 100% of the time, it's just like a woodpecker, you know, the sapsucker or any of those kind of damaging animals. It's the fact of the matter is that the tree's in stress and calling the rodents or other animals in to do damage by concentrating the sugars in the plant. And that comes from the plant being in stress. And the stress can be caused by they're a little too dry on the dry side, they're too wet, which could be the case lately, or it can be that the plants are too deep in the ground. Crepe myrtles are almost 100% too deep in the ground. So the long-term solution would be to go out there and expose the flares, get the flares off of the bases of the trees and get the flares exposed and the apron out from the flare exposed. And you'll probably see that go away to a degree. The other things to do are to use the repellents. There's a rabbit scram product, just like from the same company I mentioned, the mole scram, and also any of the ones that are currently on the market out there in the feed stores and garden centers that have the hot pepper and the castor oil will help with the rabbits as well. Having some dogs that get to run in that area from time to time, of course, is going to help some too. And then the damaged areas that you already have on the bases of the trees, you need to treat that. First step is to toss some hydrogen peroxide on it from the grocery store. Second step is to smear the tree trunk goop. And the formula for making it's on our website. It's very simple. It's three things mixed together and then water added to make a mud slurry, and you smear it on the tree trunk where it's damaged. And the three ingredients are compost, soft rock phosphate, or fireplace ashes, either one. And the third is natural diatomaceous earth. So,
okay.
So you can
All right.
treat the wounds. You can fix what brought the animals there in the first place by getting the flares exposed and doing the sick tree treatment, and then use a repellent of hot pepper and castor oil.
Okay, and I've got one other question.
Okay.
My house faces west, and every year, you know, you're putting in that mulch in the front. Can a guy put in rock? Will that be okay, or will it just burn everything up? We're from Minnesota and move it down here, so it's a little bit different, you know?
Well, the only rock I recommend, for the most part, unless it's a real specific design and you have to use something like river rock or something like that, but in general, the only gravel that works well as a mulch is lava gravel, and it works very well. It's a good mulch.
And okay, so I can put that without getting so hot so it burns all my flowers up.
It won't burn your plants up at all. Lava gravel, because of its design, its texture, in all the holes all through it and everything, it has an insulating quality. It won't build up heat at all. And you can use red lava gravel or the black, either one. One thing to not do, though, that might get recommended to you is don't ever put any plastic under it. Put the lava gravel right on the bare soil after you've gotten the weeds out and everything, and put as thick a layer as you want to put. And the thicker it is, the better it helps keep the weeds out long term.
Okay, and where would a person get that lava gravel?
It's at all the big box stores. It's at the independent stores. It's at hardware stores. It's all over the place. It's sold as a decorative gravel, and it's all, some people use it in their barbecue grills.
Okay, I know. I'm very familiar with that. Okay, well, thank you so much.
Appreciate the call. Talk to you later.
You bet. Bye-bye.
All right, catching up real quickly here, a little In Howard's Garden scalping. Do I recommend? No, not ever. I recommend leaving the turf grasses, you know, maybe one setting a little higher in the winter. It gives a little insulating quality. And then when we start to green up, which is about to happen now, we can drop that mower back down to where it was. In other words, one notch lower, but you don't want to really rip it down low and scalp, because everything that results from that's bad. It exposes bare soil. It encourages the germination of weed seed. The sunlight hitting the soil burns out carbon from the soil. In other words, everything that happens when you scalp is bad. Cutting down one notch, one setting lower on your mower, especially if you went up one setting for the winter, is fine, but not hard, heavy scalping. Questions about live oaks. A lot of live oaks are looking bad out there right now. The reason is the buds are swelling from the warm weather and sunlight that we had before this last rain event, and that's causing the leaves to turn brown and to kick off. That's natural. That's nothing bad. That's the natural way live oaks shed their leaves and put on the new growth in the spring. Some are more dramatic about it than others. Some will turn brown and look really terrible. Some just kick off green leaves as the buds swell. And some will kick them off earlier than others, and you'll get almost a bare live oak tree for a while, and that scares people. But in all those situations, if that's all you're dealing with, that's not a problem at all. Those hard leaves can be mulched into the turf just like we do with the larger leaves, even though they're harder and break down slower, or they can be put in the compost pile, no problem at all. Pre-emergence, the time, if you're going to do pre-emergence chemical, I think it's an extremely bad idea. Is here, middle of February. And if you're going to do the one that we do recommend, the corn gluten meal, it's time to do that as well. It's a risky deal as far as timing goes to hit it just right, so you knock out those germinating weed seed. For example, the weed seed we want to try to influence now are the summer weed seed, like crabgrass and grass burrs and those kind of things. They probably haven't germinated yet, and that's good. The corn gluten meal goes out at 20 pounds per 1,000 square feet and shuts down the little seed after it germinates by not allowing it to grow roots. It's not toxic for the soil. It's a good organic fertilizer used at that rate. And if you do it, you don't want to be planting something new. It might hurt the germination, and you don't want to do another fertilizer also. I'll be back after this.
America, we've got your back for immune health this season. It seems that everyone you know has a cold or the flu. Many health professionals agree that probiotics are the number one natural therapy for boosting immune health at this time of the year. Why are probiotics so good? Because 70% of your body's immune cells reside in the GI tract. By taking a superior probiotic daily like Dr. O'Hara's probiotics, you can enhance your overall immune system. Since its origin over 30 years ago, Dr. O'Hara's probiotics has prided itself on purity in creating the certified vegetarian probiotic supplement, free of gluten, allergens, and GMOs. Natural healthy fruits and vegetables are fermented for 3 years with 12 probiotic strains to create Dr. O'Hara's trademark postbiotic metabolite blend. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference for yourself this cold and flu season. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Amazon.com, as well as Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and natural health retailers everywhere. Get them today.
Ladybug, a new Earth natural product, provides high-quality compost, granular and liquid organic fertilizers, mulches, soil amendments, and nutrient-rich magic sand. All Ladybug products start with the finest all-natural raw materials and have dependable consistency. Ask for Ladybug at garden centers, farm stores, hardware stores, Whole Foods, and other quality retailers. To find a store and for more information, visit ladybugbrand.com.
Unibest International has a great new soil testing kit for home gardeners, agriculture and greenhouse producers, turf managers, and landscape contractors. Tests determine what fertilizer nutrients are needed and provide easy-to-understand fertilizer recommendations tailored to your site that will improve production and quality. For more information or to order your ready-to-use professional-grade soil test kit, call 877-535-2479 or go to unibestinc.com. That's 877-535-2479.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
Ah, the pursuit of anti-aging. We diet, exercise, use the latest moisturizers, but did you know that dietary supplements can make a huge difference too? Our body's master antioxidant, glutathione, plays a significant role in the anti-aging process by helping to keep our strands of DNA healthy. At the end of our DNA strands are telomeres, little caps that protect our DNA and chromosomes. Over time, these caps can become frayed and cell aging accelerates. Anti-aging studies suggest that by boosting our body's glutathione levels, we can reduce telomere shortening and help protect our DNA. But since our glutathione levels decrease as we age, we need some help. RegActive is a revolutionary and remarkable supplement that is transforming the future of anti-aging health and wellness. RegActive features ME3, which has over 20 years of research and is proven to naturally stimulate and produce glutathione in our body, helping to support our cellular and anti-aging health. RegActive is available on Amazon.com. That's RegActiv.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
Trees become infested with insects and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and pathogens are just doing their jobs, trying to take out the unfit plants. Most plant sickness is environmental. Too much water? Maybe not enough water. Too much fertilizer or the wrong kind of fertilizer. Toxic chemical pesticides, the compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting certain plant species, and creating monocultures. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in a stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insects and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically: 1. Stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic chemical pesticides. 2. Remove excess soil from the root flare. 3. Apply organic amendments. And 4. Spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice Monthly. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
Howard back with you, and we're going to talk to Paul, and then I'll give you the Mother Earth News tip for sustainable living for the week. Hello, Paul in Salina, Texas.
Hey, Howard. How are you this morning?
Doing well. Thank you, sir.
Good. Hey, I have a gardenia bush that I have been trying to nurse along for a couple of years, and this winter really put the pretty good hurt on it. What would your recommendations be as far as trying to bring it back?
What do you have on it, Paul? Just burned brown leaves, or what does it look like?
Half of the leaves are burned and brown. The other half are, I'm going to say, a medium green. Some of them are kind of half and half.
Okay, it'll probably be okay and come back if you just wait. But what I would do is kind of a version of the sick tree treatment, maybe not as much as I would do, you know, for a big tree, but a little aeration and then the organic amendments around it, spray and drench with Garrett juice. In this case, I don't know, you even need to put the hydrogen peroxide in it. Has it been doing well? How many years have you had it there?
I've had it here about 3 years. It was actually a gift. I had a friend of my mother's had about a dozen of them pulled out. I transplanted them over here, and one of them has survived.
Okay. They're a little tricky. The thing that I have found that helps people the most with gardenias is that they like more sunlight than a lot of people give them. They put them in too shady a situation, and that keeps them in a little bit of stress, and they can keep them a little too wet by watering too much in that shady situation. So you might look at that. But
it's in a shady location, but it does not get wet because it's the ground drains substantially away from it.
Okay, well, that's good. Make sure it's not staying too dry. And if it doesn't get any direct sunlight at all, it would prefer to have a spot where it did. That's all I can tell you.
Okay. Fireplace ash around it?
You're in Salina. What kind of soil? Don't you have black soil there?
Well, in this particular bed, it's been prepared. I've put 8 years' worth of compost and kind of tilled it around this garden area.
Mm-hmm.
So it is going to be the gray or the black clay.
Okay, you don't want to do the fireplace ashes by themselves. You can use a little bit of the fireplace ash in your compost, you know, blended with a lot of other things, but don't put it by itself around the gardenia. The gardenia would rather have things like lava sand and green sand and things that go the other direction.
Okay.
All right. Good luck with your plant. Talk to you later.
Bye.
All right, let me do this for you real quick. This is the Mother Earth News tip for sustainable living, and it's a cool one. It's about natural winter skin care. You know, a lot of times in the winter, and it happened to me this year worse than ever before for some reason, chapped hands, dry hands, cracked ends of your fingers, and things like that. And what they're talking about is what I ended up using and really helped me too, and that's coconut oil. It's a wonderful skin moisturizer. It's antifungal and antibacterial. You can mix it with other things. Some people mix the coconut oil with almond oil and use it as a skin treatment. And then you can also do the same thing making your own lip balm. Use beeswax, coconut oil, and shea butter together, and it makes a better lip balm than the commercial kinds of things. You can also add a few drops of your favorite essential oil to the mix. Peppermint oil is a traditional favorite, for example. And anyway, one thing I'm not sure we're doing is putting these tips on our website after we've done them. We'll probably figure out a way to do that. You can sign up for a newsletter and probably find this exact tip on MotherEarthNews.com. So go there in the meantime, and we'll probably do it later. One thing I've noticed is when you get the little crusty things on your skin that for some people will later turn into just ugly little spots or can even go further and turn into skin cancers and things like that. The coconut oil is really good to rub on those and other blemish areas and things like that, and you might see some pretty interesting improvement. I've had a lot of people tell me that they do that, and like the Mother Earth tip here, it's good for your skin just from a dryness standpoint as well. Let's see what Karen's up to in Miami, Florida. Hello, Karen.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well, thanks.
Yes, I'm growing several different types of chili plants on chili peppers on my veranda. I'm in a condo.
Okay.
And I've had a lot of trouble with aphids, and I've tried various things, and they keep coming back, and every year I end up losing a couple of plants to them.
What are your plants? Are these vegetables and herbs, food crops?
Chili peppers, all hot chili.
All chili peppers, okay.
Yeah.
Well, the chili peppers are actually a plant in the food category that can grow in sun or shade. Are you getting direct sun, or what's your sun?
I'm facing south, so in the winter they're getting a lot more sun. Right now they're getting a lot of sun.
Okay. If you can give them a little bit of shade during part of the day, it actually will limit the stress and make them more resistant to the aphids, believe it or not. Now, you can kill the aphids with very gentle organic things, soapy, you know, a tablespoon of soap and a gallon of water, essential oils, the hydrogen peroxide mixed with water 50-50 used with the Garrett juice works. But to get rid of aphids long term, you need to relieve the stress, and I think getting a little bit of the direct sun off of them during the day would help with that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put you on hold if you had something else, because I've got to run. I'm Howard Garrett, and I'll be back right after this.
Gardeners, do you want to receive the best how-to videos for everything you need to know for successful food gardens and landscapes? This video course is taught with 15 chapters of instruction and includes a detailed 25-page study booklet. It's fun, easy, and covers organic gardening, landscaping, and farming. To learn more or sign up for the course, go to dirtdoctor.com. That's dirtdoctor.com, and click on the certification course banner.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping and delicious healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast to coast and border to border. You can learn about these top-rated books by clicking on the Howard's Books button on the top of the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. That's DirtDoctor.com.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit DirtDoctor.com.
America, we've got your back for immune health this season. It seems that everyone you know has a cold or the flu. Many health professionals agree that probiotics are the number one natural therapy for boosting immune health at this time of the year. Why are probiotics so good? Because 70% of your body's immune cells reside in the GI tract. By taking a superior probiotic daily like Dr. O'Hara's probiotics, you can enhance your overall immune system. Since its origin over 30 years ago, Dr. O'Hara's probiotics has prided itself on purity in creating the certified vegetarian probiotic supplement, free of gluten, allergens, and GMOs. Natural healthy fruits and vegetables are fermented for 3 years with 12 probiotic strains to create Dr. O'Hara's trademark postbiotic metabolite blend. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference for yourself this cold and flu season. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Amazon.com, as well as Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and natural health retailers everywhere. Get them today.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to DirtDoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. Telephone number is 866-444-3478. Somebody called and couldn't hold, apparently, and it was asking Mary Rose about blackjack pine trees. I'm not sure what that is. There's a Japanese black pine, and that may be what we're talking about. Note says they were 20 years old, dying. He's trimming them back. There is one doing well. How can he revive the others? Well, the thing we recommend for all trees that are in trouble or having pest problems or whatever is to use the sick tree treatment. It's how we came up with the way to save photinia, the red-tip photinia. It's said by others and universities, unfortunately, that there is no cure for it, but there is. It's called the sick tree treatment. First step is, and this is what I do with these pine trees, no matter what kind they are. They're probably Japanese black pine. I used to design them into projects all over the place. I think it's a beautiful pine, and they did well for several years and then started going downhill, so that's probably what we're dealing with here. But if you do the sick tree treatment, with the first step being the most important step, pulling the soil off the base of the trees. And I think pines really skip by people's attention to this a lot of times because people don't think pines have flares like, you know, deciduous trees, maples and oaks and elms and things like that. But they do. They don't have as dramatic a flare, but they do have a flare. So exposing the flares at the base of the plants dramatically as you can, and then applying the rest of the sick tree treatment will probably bring these pines back if they're not gone too far already. If they are and you want to plant additional pines, I wouldn't plant Japanese black anymore. Austrians are a little better long-term, and the one that's far better long-term is called Italian stone pine, and that would be the one to look at. Of course, if you're in sandy soils and if you're up north, you have all kinds of choices on pines. I'm talking about for around here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and the heavy clay soils where we have very few choices of pine trees. In the sand and the sandy loams around the country, talk to your local experts, and you know the list goes from one end to the other. The one you'll see the most in a lot of cases is white pine, but there are many, many others that that do well. And we've got an open line at 866-444-3478. Here's Carl in Western Massachusetts. Yes. Hey, Carl.
Hi.
What's going on?
I have a quick question. Okay. Hello?
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
All right, I got a quick question on a fig tree. I have two fig trees. It's our weather here is kind of funky. It's not going to get warm for another 2 months to all put right. this out. Figs do survive here, but you have to wrap them up outdoors. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of Italians around in the area that have them outdoors, planted in the ground, but they have to wrap them up. I just have two in my basement. No light, just lights that are on when I'm down there, but I have one of them is starting to sprout because it's a little bit too warm down there.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any way do you know of that I could stop it from growing, or should I just put a light on it and let it go?
Well, if you could move it back out while you're going through, even though it's still cold, milder weather, you can leave the fig out. I assume it's in a container.
Yes, but it's too cold here to be outside.
Well,
but it's too warm in my basement for it to not to.
It's not too cold. It's not too cold every day, Carl. Fig trees. I mean, ours got 10 degrees this year and doesn't phase them at all at that temperature. Now, when it gets colder than that, you do have to start putting mulch up really high on the plant, maybe even completely covering the top with floating row cover and doing stuff like that. But during just cold weather where it's, you know, just barely below freezing and in the 20s and everything, that's not going to hurt a fig tree at all. So getting it back right. out during those relatively mild days will stop the new growth, shut it down, and solve your problem. And that's not that big a deal to do when it's in a container.
Will the leaves grow back, though, the ones that are forming already a quarter of an inch?
Yeah.
On the tree?
It's not going to kill it. It just will, kind of like potatoes, Irish potatoes. I tell people to plant them in January and the foliage comes up and gets burned off, they'll come right back. Well, a fig will do the same thing unless it's so cold that it freezes the stems and breaks the, you know, bursts the plant from inside. So just protect it during the really, really cold, but when it's just kind of normal cold weather, just barely freezing and all, it's not going to hurt the fig in the slightest. In fact, it'll be good for it.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate it. I
appreciate the call. Yeah, and it's easier here, but there are people here that are afraid that figs are going to freeze. One of the nice things, one of the great things about the organic approach, and by the way, open line for you at 866-444-DIRT, which is 3478. When you go organic, when you use this technique that we're talking about here, stop using the synthetic fertilizers, which are the 3:1:2, 4:1:2 ratio fertilizers. Those things lead to all kind of problems. They lead to insect and disease problems because of the stress related to the plant. But one of the things related to what we were just talking about here is your plants will have a full hardiness zone of more cold protection when you're under an organic program than when you're using synthetics. Why does that happen? Well, it happens because the organic fertilizers treat the soil, build the life in the soil, the microbes in the soil. That builds the beneficial fungus on the roots of the plants, the mycorrhizae. The synthetic fertilizers burn it away. They're very antagonistic to the life in the soil that we want. Well, all that life in the soil is what allows the plants to access the trace minerals, pull them into the plant, and that's what directly relates to the complex carbohydrates, the sugars being higher in the plant. That's antifreeze. That's how you get this protection, this greater protection in the winter. Now, for those of you in the winter where it's getting below zero and things like that, obviously you've got to protect things like figs and all, but when it's just normal kind of cold like we would have in a winter, the figs are going to do fine outside. I guess every now and then when we have a 50-degree drop in temperature like we've had, like we had last year, putting some mulch on the base would be a good idea. But on the other hand, my figs came out fine even from that dramatic change. Let's see. It's Crystal's turn, calling from Missouri, Ozark County. What's up, Crystal?
Oh, man, I'm glad to see the sunshine back.
That's me too. We've got some here as well.
Yeah, it seems like you were getting hit before we were. It was just coming right on up the line.
Yep.
Hey, at the breakfast table this morning, we were talking about putting some blueberries in.
Okay.
And I got this funny look, and I got asked, well, have you prepared the soil right? Because it's got to have this, it's got to have. And I said, let me call Howard, because it's going to be much simpler if I just ask him what I have to do to get some soil prepared to put some blueberries in.
Well, we've helped a commercial operation in Kansas grow some gorgeous blueberries, so do have some experience with it. All it is, Crystal, is the organic program after you have done some good bread preparation. It's not really anything out of the ordinary that we recommend all the time. It's just a little bit more intense for blueberries, a lot of compost, green sand, lava sand, one of the trace mineral products like azomite would help tremendously. And you mix the native soil in with those ingredients, so you create a raised bed. And then one of the main things that we're doing on this commercial property, or the commercial people are, I think it has sold, I think it may be under different ownership now, but one of the main things they're doing is they're fertilizing with liquid fertilizer, Garrett juice mixture, in a diluted format every time they water. So, yeah, you do a little bit more intense work for blueberries, but it's really nothing different than we use for growing Photinia, viburnum, oaks, you know, hollies, okay, everything else.
Well, something was said about the pH in the soil has to be a real certain, it's a narrow window, and I was wondering, okay, well, if I've got to get my pH lowered, then what's going to be the best way to do that?
Well, the best way to lower the pH, if you want to do that, is with the apple cider vinegar that's part of the Garrett juice mixture. It'll lower the pH like, okay, that. But pH is overblown as far as how valuable it is to control. If you do the kind of bed preparation that we just talked about and that we're recommending all the time, and fertilize with the Garrett juice mixture on a regular basis, what you'll do is you'll stimulate biological activity to be so powerful, so rich in that soil with all those amendments, that the pH will naturally drop down into that 5 to 6 range. Some people tell you you need it 4 to 5, but if you get it down in the 5 to 6 range, the biological activity is more important than what that pH number is, what that chemical number is.
See, that's kind of what I figured, is that you would make it a lot easier for me.
Yep,
to look at going and getting
it's more work. You do have to give the blueberries better bed preparation, but it's really not a whole lot different than we're recommending for everything across the board.
Terrific. Hey, did you ever get your Rogue Hoe?
You know, I haven't. I've behind on a lot of things, and that's one of the things in my pile. I had just bought one of those triangular push-pulls when you and I talked, and I haven't gotten the Rogue yet, but I definitely will, and I want to talk to them about their whole line of tools. They look great.
All right. Well, you have a terrific rest of the day, and hope you get a golf game in this week.
Thanks, Crystal. I hope so, too. I don't know if I even remember how to swing. It's been so long. Talk to you later.
All right.
Bye-bye. Let's talk to Doug in Whitney, Texas, I assume that is, listening on 660 The Answer. Hey, Doug.
How you doing, Howard?
Doing well. Thank you, sir.
I've got some common Bermuda coming up in my vegetable garden. It's about 5,000 square feet. And I've heard you say that the fatty acid products and the vinegar products will take care of that. Which do you recommend for that size of garden?
Well, that's a big garden. The 20% vinegar is probably going to be your best bet, the one that's labeled as an organic herbicide. But it won't do you a bit of good to spray right now. You're going to have to wait until the Bermuda is green and growing. I would dig as much out as you can physically and then cover with paper or cardboard and mulch over that and then spray as it pops through that. I'm going to put you on hold because you probably had something else for me and we don't want to rush. I'm Howard Garrett. I'll be back after this.
Does your garden have planting insurance? It can now with Biotone Starter Plus from Espoma. It's the ultimate starter plant food. The secret's a special blend of natural organic plant food, beneficial microbes, and that includes mycorrhizal fungi. The result? Plants grow faster, roots grow deeper, and flowers and vegetables flourish. Best of all, every Espoma product is safe for people, pets, and the planet. Visit Espoma.com for a retailer near you. Biotone Starter Plus from Espoma, a natural in the garden since 1929.
Ah, the pursuit of anti-aging. We diet, exercise, use the latest moisturizers, but did you know that dietary supplements can make a huge difference too? Our body's master antioxidant, glutathione, plays a significant role in the anti-aging process by helping to keep our strands of DNA healthy. At the end of our DNA strands are telomeres, little caps that protect our DNA and chromosomes. Over time, these caps can become frayed and cell aging accelerates. Anti-aging studies suggest that by boosting our body's glutathione levels, we can reduce telomere shortening and help protect our DNA. But since our glutathione levels decrease as we age, we need some help. RegActive is a revolutionary and remarkable supplement that is transforming the future of anti-aging health and wellness. RegActive features ME3, which has over 20 years of research and is proven to naturally stimulate and produce glutathione in our body, helping to support our cellular and anti-aging health. RegActive is available on Amazon.com. That's RegActiv.
Farms and greenhouses throughout America rely on BioSafe systems for healthier plants and better yields. You too can enjoy longer blooms and better results in your own backyard and garden with BioSafe weed control, disease control, and plant food. BioSafe Systems believes products should be effective and safe for use around pets, children, and wildlife. Our products are certified organic, so you can feel good about using them in your own backyard. Visit us online today at www.biosafe.net to learn more. BioSafe Systems, simply sustainable, always effective.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus, and BioWash. Dust, if necessary, with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet.
Truth. Children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
The Medina Corporation, led by the Stuart Franke family, has been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building products for a long time. Medina produces quality liquid and dry fertilizers and many soil amendments. Medina Soil Activator stimulates the soil biology and plant roots. And all the Medina products help all season long, whether it's landscaping, grasses, trees, herbs, or vegetables. The Medina products help you spend your money wisely, increasing production while improving the environment. All Medina products are free of toxic chemicals, including the commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus. For the proper care of your lawn and gardens, Medina is the choice. Conveniently available at many hardware, nursery, and feed stores, Medina Natural Organic Products are a Dirt Doctor recommendation. 50 years young and still environmentally friendly, it's MedinaAg.com.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
Howard, back with you, and I think Doug stuck with us here. Doug, you still there?
Yes, I'm still here, Howard.
What else did you need?
Well, so you recommend the 20% vinegar when it greens up. Is that correct?
It's probably the strongest way to go. The fatty acid products like BioSafe, which is terrific, and there's several other brand names that are out there, they'll definitely kill. They're a contact-killing organic herbicides, but the 20% vinegar is probably the most powerful. And when you're dealing with something like coastal or common Bermuda grass, that's what you need.
Okay. I've got one other question. Sure. We raise cattle, sheep, and goats, and we got a pretty good supply of fertilizer here. How long do you recommend that we cook that sheep and goat manure? When we clean out the barn, we got a great big pile of it. And I know I've had burned my garden before by putting it on too soon. What do you recommend?
Yeah, there's some improper recommendations about using manure that say that, you know, the fresh manure will rob the nitrogen from plants, and it's just 180 degrees of that. It's like you just said, you can burn plants up with it. The answer to your question is it just depends on how you're doing the compost operation. If you mix the manure with something that's a heavy carbon product like dry leaves or ground up, you know, wood chips or something that are all carbon, you get that nice balance of protein and carbon, you know, the carbon to nitrogen ratio. And they'll break down completely and be usable in a matter of months. It's just a factor of how often you turn it and what your management is. You'll be able to see using a thermometer or putting your hand in it. I mean, you'll burn your hand if it's still, you know, too hot and would burn plants. So it's just a matter of what the management procedure is. What I would recommend that you do, which would give you the best product long term, would be to mix those manure materials with shredded tree trimmings that you'd get from a local tree care company. And in that case, you could turn it one time over a period of about 6 to 8 months, and it'd probably be completely finished and beautiful. Because if you do tree trimmings without the manure in it, and we've seen this, Tony Manasseri and others have done this, if you just pile it up in a pile and turn it one time, it turns into a compost that's perfect in about 9 months. So you can speed up that process, adding manure and turning it a little more often, testing the temperature, testing the moisture level, making sure you keep the moisture level about right. You see what I mean? It's about management more so than just how long does it take the manure to break down.
Well, we just pile it up when we clean the barn out. We got a
big
pile. So I was just, you know, we're just going to let it cook, I guess, till it's ready.
Yeah, just dig into it if it's still steaming and hot. I mean, you can feel it. It's still too hot to mix a whole bunch into the soil. On the other hand, you can put the not quite broken down compost or manure in this case on the surface of the soil and let it sheet compost, you know, that's what that's called, on the surface, and it won't develop a heat too strong to hurt your plants probably at all that way, and so you can use it in a shorter period of time.
Right. Okay, sir.
Just let her break down and take as long as it takes, because it'll also get rid of any weed seed that would be in it also. Okay.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. And just for Doug's benefit and everybody's benefit, usually I talk to people off the air quite a bit. I don't have a phone. For whatever reason, we're still needing a phone in here to be able to do that so I can just speeds up the process. Sometimes people have an additional question I can help with off the air, but I can't do it today. Here's Maggie in Arkansas. Hey, Maggie.
Hey, Howard. I have a couple of questions for you.
Sure.
My mother used to root forsythia by cutting it early in the spring and putting it in a dark bottle with water.
Mm-hmm.
And was very successful. Well, I have a forsythia that I can't move because the roots have gone down in between the rocks. And so I tried that this year. And they've been in a bottle for a month now. They're growing like crazy, but I have no roots.
The top is growing, but you're getting no roots.
Yep.
Huh. And
they're happy.
Well, one of the things that we do with figs and grapes, primarily because they're so easy, is we do the cuttings at this time of the year when the buds are starting to swell. And we put the cuttings, after putting some saliva, literally spitting on the end of the cuttings, into potting soil, and they'll root 100% of the time. I would think that the spring flowering shrubs like forsythia and others would root just as well doing that same thing. So give that a try. Instead of putting them in water, saliva on the cut and into potting soil, and let's see if it doesn't solve your problem.
Okay. I'll try that. My other question is about seedlings.
Mm-hmm.
I have tomato, zinnia, and pepper plant seedlings.
Tell you what, Maggie, I'm going to have to put you on hold, and we'll talk about this at the beginning of the next hour. Is that okay?
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, hang on with me. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, the website dirtdoctor.com. And the telephone number to be with me is 866-444-DIRT, which is 3478. I'll be back.